Today on Traveling with a Mouse, we are discussing the latest news and rumors, as well as some aspects of the trip that Adam and Jason were on just this past week. This is coming up on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Traveling with a Mouse. This is Wednesday, and it is July the 31st. And this is episode number 227. And my name is John. I will be your ghost host. And I am joined, as always, by Adam.
What's up, everybody?
And Jason.
Hello, everyone.
I feel like Adam's ripping somebody off. I just can't put my finger on it.
Peter McKinnon. Look him up.
Oh. Okay, there you go. All right, so as always, we discuss some news and we usually go overboard. So to make up for any potential overboard we might do, let's just go ahead and jump into these things, shall we?
All right, let's jump in.
Who's got the first story?
I've got a follow-up from last week, if you want to do that one.
Sure.
So last week we talked about there were plans for a walkway between Grand Floridian and Magic Kingdom. We kind of talked at length about that, actually. But as we saw last week in person, I couldn't get a good photo of it, though. But there are photos out there. This has already started construction. Like, already. They're working on this bridge right now. There's a giant crane out there. It's known now that this is going to be like a swing bridge. So it's going to be similar to the Epcot one with illumination. So it's just going to be like it swings open to let the electric water pageant floats or boats out every night and back in. So the bridge will be closed temporarily for that. But otherwise, it will be a open walkway from the Grand Floridian to Magic Kingdom. So it should be open soon.
I kind of figured it would be kind of like a drawbridge type deal that they were going to do. So
right. Looks like this one's going to kind of swing like a gate from what people have said.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But who knows? Anyway, that's already under construction. So, wow. Maybe, who knows, early next year maybe might be open?
I think they should make it almost like a ravine that's just wide enough to do like the Indiana Jones jump from Raiders of the Lost Ark. You have to hang on to a root on the other side and pull yourself up. That's the way it should really go.
Sure.
How many people are going to fall in, exactly?
Yeah. To gator-infested waters?
Well, I don't know. Even Cepedo made it, so, you know.
Well, he didn't make it far after
that.
Yeah. Newest attraction at Walt Disney World, you have to jump a ravine.
Yeah. And then a boulder chases you to the Magic Kingdom entrance.
Yeah, they're doing away with the stunt show, so we might as well make it exciting and put it over there.
Well, I guess you could make the giant whatever, like, beach ball, essentially is what it is. Bring it out there and use it while the show's under refurb. Drop it from the top of the monorail track. Anyway, so that is story number one. That's under construction. Saw it in person. Lots of cranes in the skylines at Walt Disney World still.
Will be for quite some time.
One crane goes away, another one pops up.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the birds that you see on the safari.
Yeah. Speaking of construction, though, that I couldn't get photos of, the Star Wars Hotel is coming along as well. I saw that from a distance driving either to or from Hollywood Studios, but I couldn't get a good photo of it because I was driving. So
yeah, and let's not forget one of the ones I was going to point out is you also tried to get a photo of the Club 33 location at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to affect all of our listeners. I know we have all the Club 33 members
yes,
listening to our show. And if you are listening, please invite us into the club.
Exactly. Yeah, give us an invite. Pay for our dues for us. We'll appreciate it.
I was going to say, just become a Patreon and give a high-level subscription. Well,
oh, you don't have to give us the membership. Just take us in once. That's all.
That's true. Yeah. I would take that. Take us to the Magic Kingdom one, preferably.
Eh.
Actually, the Disneyland one would be the most preferable, but
yeah,
that's fine. I would take any of them at this point.
Well, I have one. So I don't know if you saw, but the carpets removed in the newly refurbished family suites at Disney's Art of Animation Resort. They've been refurbishing Art of Animation. There's some pictures of the new refurbished Lion King suite that looks pretty cool. I will say that I stayed at Art of Animation back in January in the car suite, and that carpet was kind of, you know, getting some wear, and I like the idea of getting rid of the carpets. I mean, it does make it easier to clean. And
well, they've been slowly but surely doing that in all of property.
Yep.
Those wood floors. Yeah.
Now, I've never stayed in a Lion King suite, so I don't really know what it looked like before as far as the furniture, but it does look nice, the refurbished room that they're showing with the table and the leaf chairs and all that. I mean, it's the same sort of layout as it was before, but it looks very nice, the one that they're doing.
Yeah. That shower's cool with the sun rise. It's a good way to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss the carpet, but I'm trying to look. They have these sort of pebble texture on the floor. It's not going to be hardwoods, which will probably be good for, you know, pool and whatnot. But now I'm going to have to stare at it to try to find the hidden Mickeys in the pebbles.
Yeah, because you know they're there. There's going to be at least a few.
Well, you know, carpets for years have been one problem, really, with a lot of hotel rooms.
Yeah.
As far as keeping them clean, I mean, they're like a cesspool when it comes to hotel rooms. Yeah. So it's definitely easier to keep these, not really hardwood, as you said, but more of, you know, a smooth surface, a smoother surface.
Right. Something easier.
Non-fabric. Yes.
Yeah.
Something easier to clean and to keep from, you know, being so germy definitely helps. And you know, with the redesign of all the beds too, which you have more storage space underneath now. So taking the cue from the cruise line to use the underneath the bed for a place to put things, that they're doing that. So, yep. All right. So I guess that means I'll go with a story on Reflections, the Disney Rehab Center.
Right. That's exactly.
On Disney Lake Lodge. The fact that it's going to feature a table service restaurant on Bay Lake. Three Bridges Bar and Grill, which is the one at Coronado Springs. Did you get a chance to visit there?
Yes.
Jason did.
This is kind of like a preview to later on.
Yes, I did visit that, and it is wonderful.
It looks cool. This is my thing, though. I don't want to see something in the middle of Bay Lake sitting there, because Bay Lake's so gorgeously, you know, naturally beautiful. So I'm a little concerned that they're going to, like, I don't want it to be sticking way out on Bay Lake. Facing Bay Lake is fine, but if they, like, put this on Discovery Island and have a bridge going out to it, I'm not going to be a fan of that. But
I don't know that they're necessarily planning on going that far out. The only reason why it's in the middle of the lake at Coronado is they were actually trying to bridge a gap.
Yes.
They're not trying to bridge any gap here. There's nothing to gap to.
Right.
So it's probably going to be similar to the bungalows. Like, it'll go out onto it, but not probably, out in the middle of it.
That, I guess, I'd be okay with, but I still don't want to ruin the look of that lake. It's so beautiful. So we'll see. Hopefully they'll do it good.
And the blueprints that they're showing in this story kind of suggest that, because they already have those. I don't know if you want to call them cabins, really. Is that what they're calling them? I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about, though. The ones that are right there on the lake shore. I would think the restaurant would be just offshore, really. If you want to call it a shore, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
It'll be floating just offshore.
It's going to be a really great rehab center, so I'm really happy that they're doing this for people.
For the Disney addicts.
Yeah, exactly. Help them spend more money.
Pretty much.
So here's another quick one that we saw while we were there, literally overnight. The Liberty Square Market went under construction walls for a refurb that no one really knew about. Nothing was really mentioned about refurbing this area. But one day it was open with tables and the stroller parking, and then the next day there's these gray construction walls around that whole area, so we don't really know what they're doing. I assume just, you know, replacing tables that are all beat up and maybe some of the pathway or brickwork is being redone or something, but we don't, or that maybe they're building a new DVC, making a better DVC sales pitch area instead of the one by the Liberty boat. Anyway, so that was literally overnight. We saw that while we were there last week, so it's still under walls right now. Who knows what they're, if they're doing anything more than just a refurb, but we'll find out.
Yeah, it was quite shocking to turn the corner there and see the walls up. Yeah. Especially since we paused there with the kids, and I was like, wait, we were just here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like a couple of days before or whatever, we were standing there because it was raining, and we were kind of taking a break in that area, and then the next day we literally couldn't stand in the same place.
Yeah, you know, I remember having similar experiences with stuff in the past, like one day one thing would be there and the next day it wasn't, type deal. Yeah. I don't remember specifically what right now, but I'm pretty sure I have footage of it somewhere if it was something significant. So
yeah,
it'll resurface one day.
All right, well, there's another construction update. What else we got?
Is that pretty much just all we're doing? Is
pretty much
just construction updates.
Yeah.
All right, let's do something not construction wise that I found neat. Did you see the patent Disney filed about augmented reality?
Yeah.
For sporting events, live events, and more. And the speculation here is that this patent may be used to add augmented reality to park experiences eventually. So it's going to be like a Google Glass style thing that will overlay information onto whatever you're looking at. So at a sporting event, it could provide information about, you know, maybe the player you're looking at or the rules or something like that. If you were at, like, I don't know, a foreign resort, you can maybe do the translation of the words that you're looking at. So it's a pretty standard, like, you know, there's AR technology out there like Google Glass, there's VR headsets. So it looks like Disney's trying to build their own to start with sporting events and maybe to go from live sports to theme parks eventually. So what do we think of that?
Well, I'm sure whatever it is Disney has in store for it will be kept under wraps and will be totally different than whatever we speculate right now.
I think back to that old CD-ROM we used to have, the Disney World Explorer or something, what was that called?
Oh, yeah.
But it's like you throw these pair of glasses on, and basically that's what you see as you're walking through the park.
Yes,
you, I remember. Gives you little tidbits and information about stuff.
Yeah, I remember those CD-ROMs.
Yeah.
I would love during a challenge day to have AR glasses on and be able to look around and have like the wait times up in the sky.
That would be interesting, yeah.
That would be neat, yeah. I thought Disney was going to make their own version of, like, I don't know, Pokemon Go or something. With
Disney characters or something?
Yeah, something like that.
You caught Stitch. Yeah. Be interesting. That's not out of the realm of possibility, I'm sure.
I mean, they're using it for sports first. I mean, I'm really waiting. I've told you this before, Adam, this is not Disney related. When it comes to sports and AR, VR, I'm just waiting for the day that I can watch the Masters in virtual reality live.
You're there.
So that I can, like, stand behind the putt and, like, line it up. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. That would be interesting. And then they would do, like, Soarin', and the glasses would have, like, these little sprayers where it would spray scents at you in your face.
You could incorporate more.
Right. You could augmented reality on Soarin' so that whenever you're not sitting in the dead center, the Eiffel Tower is straight.
Right. It'd be nice, too.
That's funny. Natural curvature in the Eiffel Tower is just a beauty.
Right.
And I refrain from a joke there, but, you know, we'll...
Right. We'll continue. Let's not go with that. Is it John's turn, I think?
Disney is offering an Ultimate Disney Christmas package for Walt Disney World. I'm wondering, does this mean that they're, like, do they really have to encourage booking for the week of Christmas?
I mean, they don't get enough already.
Yeah, it's usually the week after Christmas that's usually the busiest, but I'm wondering, like, is the week up until, are they suffering? I mean, do they have to want to offer something new? But anyway, beginning July 25th, which has already come and gone, through October the 26th, you can book this wondrous package to celebrate Christmas at Walt Disney World. Keep in mind that even with the booking window open until the 26th, it will be cut short if capacity is reached. So to make it even easier, the dates of travel are set within check-in on December 21st and check-out on December 26th, leaving no guesswork in finding the available dates. So your choices, staying in a moderate, deluxe, or villa resort based on availability, 4-day theme park ticket with Park Hopper option, which can be upgraded to Park Hopper Plus if you want, tickets to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party on December 22nd specifically, where you'll be able to see the new Minnie's Wonderful Christmas Time Fireworks Spectacular. Rates start at $199 per person per night for a family of four in a standard view room at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort for a total package price of $3,980 based on two adults, one junior, and one child. Note the $200 deposit will be required at the time of booking.
How many days is this?
It is four. They're giving you a 4-day ticket. So it says the 21st and check out the 26th. So it's technically 5 days, I guess.
Why are these always not that great of a deal?
Well, it's packaged so that it appears to be a great deal to some. But to those that are in the know, they know better. Something like that. And not to insult anyone that might be interested in this. I'm sorry, that's not my intention. But there's better deals. And especially, I mean, if you just have to go during Christmas, I guess you could do this, but I couldn't see myself doing it. First of all, I don't know that as far as the busyness goes that I would be caught dead there during this range, but I never say never.
I'll be able to tell you what it's like.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, you'll find out soon enough, right?
Oh, my.
Is the ticket include Park Hopper or no?
It said that was optional. It said that you get a 4-day theme park ticket with a park hopper option, but it can be upgraded to Park Hopper Plus if you wish. So it does automatically come with it.
You can add the water parks if you wish.
If you want to, yeah. But, I mean, only one of them is going to be open during that time of year, right? I mean, that's how it usually is during the winter.
Blizzard Beach or one of the two goes down for...
Usually. I don't know if it's during Christmas, though. They might both be open during Christmas. But anyway, it breaks it down. It says Saturday, December the 21st, you'll get exclusive nighttime access to experience select attractions, including at Animal Kingdom, including Avatar, Flight of Passage, Navi River Journey, and Expedition Everest, and you'll get an exclusive showing of Rivers of Light. We Are One. By the way, I've heard that show is like... suffering, like nobody watches it. Like if you were there, I mean, it's pretty, it's there's not too many people showing up for Rivers of Light at all. So
I found it boring. My wife likes it, but I found it really boring.
Really? So
yeah.
Anyway, the next day, the 22nd, which is also a Sunday, you get tickets to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at the Magic Kingdom that day. The 23rd and 24th exclusive reserve viewing area at Worldview Plaza for the new Epcot Forever fireworks show, plus a digital $50 Epcot theme park dining promo card for each guest ages 3 and older for use at select Epcot dining locations. It'd be interesting to see what those select dining locations are. And on Christmas Day, you get a special holiday gift delivered to your room on Christmas Day. Mm. So
it's probably nothing... that great. It's like a button or something that says Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So it's wrapped up like a good package, but it's, and I don't really see it being your best option. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So. I mean, are they trying to encourage people to go like before and up to Christmas rather than that week between Christmas and New Year's, which seems to be the busiest week?
I don't know. I mean, I don't, that time before is still pretty busy.
Yeah, it's
just not,
usually.
It's just not as slammed as the one after.
Right. Maybe they're just trying to soften it a little bit for that New Year's. Maybe
they're trying to help people out that were only going to be able to go during this time period, that giving them a little something like this to go with, perhaps.
Make them feel like they're getting some deal because they're getting a few perks, like a little extras.
Yeah. But there's literally nothing, obviously, that gives them access to Galaxy's Edge or Rise of the Resistance listed here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not going overboard with it by any means.
Yeah. Because that would sell out immediately if they said you get guaranteed access to even just one attraction at Galaxy's Edge.
I mean, it sounds like they're trying to push Animal Kingdom. It's trying to keep people away.
Right, from Hollywood Studios.
Which is not going to work. I mean, there's no one that's going to pass up Rise of Resistance to go to Rivers of Light or anything like that if that's the option they're getting.
Well, some people may not realize. And again, there might be some out there that don't care at all about Star Wars. And they just
Plenty.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
This is who it's for, I guess.
But see, Rise of the Resistance is one of those things that's just like Flight of Passage. You don't have to care about Avatar to enjoy Flight of Passage. That's You're true. Not going to have to care about Star Wars to enjoy Rise of the Resistance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although maybe, if it's as interactive as people think, some people may really be turned off by the Rise of the Resistance attraction.
I find it hard to believe it's going to be one of their best.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of their best that they've done ever. Yeah. As far as, putting it up.
I mean, it's going to be second best to the rafts. But.
Right. Okay. I will do a story that has already come and gone. Registration is now open and closed for Passholder previews of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Hollywood Studios. Open and closed. Yeah. So it opened, what day was it that it opened? It was the day we were...
At Be Our Guest, yeah.
What was that, the 25th?
Sounds right.
Yeah, July 25th it opened, and I don't know, within a couple of hours it was full. We snagged our 9 a.m. August 17th reservation, as Jason said, while we were at Be Our Guest that morning. I saw the alert come on my phone, and I think you were up getting something for one of the kids, and I was like, get your phone open now. So we sat there at least 30 minutes, right? Something like that before.
It was a while, yeah.
It had to be at least 30 minutes. We were just sitting there with our phones open, waiting for this page to open up. I was standing outside in the rain when it finally opened up on mine, and I grabbed it. So...
Yeah, I think our wives may be slightly annoyed that we were at Disney for over a week and we signed up to come back 3 weeks later.
Yes. Yeah, I had to explain it about 100 times that why we were going back and why this is a big deal. But so, yeah, I mean, we have the 4-hour window. This is very similar to what Disneyland did when they did the reservation system. There's 4-hour windows seem to overlap. So our time period is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's a second group that's going to start coming in at 11 a.m. So we have 2 hours of, maybe not too bad crowded, I would think. Because Disneyland's, it seemed really crowded when they first walked in. But, Smuggler's Run, I don't think, got over 30 minutes wait during that time period. So we'll see. We just got to decide what we're going to do because there is some limitations, as usual. I think you have a choice. You can only do one of certain things like Oga's Cantina or the lightsaber, Savi's Workshop, or the droid shop. I think you can only pick maybe two out of those three or one out of those three. I forgot, but we're going to get the details at some point, but... We are going to be able to ride Smuggler's Run, it says. You will be able to, I think there's a 2-drink limit at Oga's Cantina. I think Disneyland still has a 2-drink limit. We're going as a group of 6. We have 2 kids, hopefully, if we work out the babysitter situation. We'll have 2 kids, our wives, and us. So we'll kind of have the diehard fan for riding Smuggler's Run, I'm talking about. The diehard fans, me and Jason, who obviously will be the pilots, our wives, and then our kids. So we'll have kind of a review of different perspectives.
When you say diehard fans, are you talking about of Disney or of Star Wars?
Both. Well, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I wouldn't call myself, the...
cosplay.
Cosplay. I'm not necessarily going to do that, but...
Gotcha.
I have seen all the movies, and I do enjoy them, and I
As do I.
I've bought the comic book, so obviously I'm getting a little too into it.
You're like one step away from getting into cosplay now. You're probably going to be doing it when the hotel opens.
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
Just promise me not to wear a Slave Leia outfit that day, okay?
All right. I was going to do it for you, Jason, but I will.
Oh boy.
I'll wait till the hotel opens.
Also, don't wear your Jabba the Hutt outfit either. Right. That could be kind of gross.
I'm going to do the 97 special edition version of Jabba the Hutt.
I'll just outfit. Go and recite Jabba's lines.
Yes. John has all the Jabba lines from Return of the Jedi memorized. So.
Well, I don't know about all that. I have a few.
You used to apparently. Have them all.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you when's the last time I watched Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Of course, they keep changing it now. So.
One thing about this registration, since this is totally falling apart, yes. It's exclusive, like, pass holders, they can't bring non-pass holders, from what I understand, right?
Correct, yeah. Because okay, I would have done pass that holders. If I could have, yeah. I definitely would have tried. All
right, so here's my thing. All right, so we go out, Disneyland opens, and we're like, you know, they treated pass holders like they had the plague or whatever because they didn't let any of them in. And then this time it's the polar opposite, and only pass holders are getting a preview. I don't know if that's an indication of the difference between the two parks and the number of annual passes, maybe. Or
yeah,
did they learn their lesson in some way? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like with it being just annual pass holders that are able to do Galaxy's Edge in Florida, I think it's potentially, well, I'm not going to say for sure, but I think there's a potential for it being pretty small crowd-wise.
Yeah.
And I only say that because of the annual pass holders that are probably going to take the leap, they're probably going to be the local ones mostly. And then you also got to divide the annual pass holders that don't particularly care, because there are those out there that don't care for Star Wars.
Well, so, the interesting thing, you say locals. I know a lot of locals are gold pass holders, and gold pass holders are not allowed to register for this event, or were not allowed to register. This was only for Platinum, Platinum Plus, and Premier, which if you're...
What about as a guest, though?
Well, there's no guest. That's what it said was only...
Yeah, but it said no guest as except for pass holders. Did it say those levels?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know because anybody who I'm attached to was a Platinum because we're all out of state. I don't have any Florida residents or gold pass holders that are
online. You don't have any gold members?
Friends, right? I keep trying to avoid saying gold members. But anyway, so I don't have any of those on my friends list, but when I did the registration, it just automatically added Jason and, you know, anybody on my list who was a pass holder that on there, so...
Well, and two, I think a little bit of difference between this one and how they've done it out in California. I mean, the pass holders are getting what, like, I don't know, a week and a half just before everybody gets to get in anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know they're already starting to preview because I was at the Star Wars Launch Bay exit store and we were talking to the cast member there. I was getting a new phone case and she had already been able to go in the land and ride Smuggler's Run. They did a preview for Hollywood Studios cast members.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Already. And from my understanding, the first couple of weeks leading up to this, there's going to be more cast member previews as well.
The 10th is when I think the first cast member preview day is. Or it might not be the first, but that seemed to be the one when I brought it up with cast members that we were coming back to do the preview. They're like, I'm going on the 10th. I'm going on the 10th. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, today, speaking of that, I saw pictures of the entrance to Galaxy's Edge, and it's already, you know, we saw the mural wall down the last day we were there, and today, even the construction wall is down, and they have these temporary, you know, those little movable shrub barriers in front now, and cast members are in front allowing what appears to be other cast members back there to register for, at least register, but it looks like they're going in already.
Must bring me another shrubbery.
Yeah. So it looks as though, I mean, because some of these photos, you can see a little bit of the land from, you know, this long zoom lens that someone had, being able to look over these shrubs. I don't know where they were standing, but looks like some people are already previewing it as of, you know, July 30th, July 31st. Even though it was supposed to officially start August 1st for cast members. So, I don't know. For the next 2.5 weeks, it looks like there's going to be people going in here quite often.
Man. Well, daily. We should technically be in the first wave of people who are not cast members. Yeah. I mean, I think there's non-cast members that will get in. But, you know, maybe some media.
Right.
Is 9 a.m. the earliest time?
Yeah, that was the earliest time that I could book, yeah. It was the 17th at 9 a.m.
What time is the park itself open that day?
I believe it's 9 a.m.
Yep. Park opens at 9 a.m. that day and closes at 9 p.m. However, we will be there in the land 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yeah. So, yeah, the other thing that it told me was that, you know, 3 to 5 days prior, we will get more instructions. So what makes me a little nervous about that is, you know, a 9 a.m. open. If it's anything like Disneyland's, my guess would be we would be told to go to Launch Bay to check in, essentially, to get, like, a wristband or whatever it is. So we may have to be there at like 7 a.m. or 7:30 in the morning to be able to get checked in and then get in the land.
Yeah, I feel like the way it'll work is people will have that are going to this are going to have to get there early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you say, get all that taken care of, but then also line up pretty much at right. like the entrance to Galaxy's Edge, however far back that goes.
Right. Yeah.
What will be interesting when it comes to Hollywood Studios is it's already a small park, not like Disneyland. So how far back is this line going to go? I mean, are we talking, is it going to go all the way back to the actual entrance when it all is said and done? I mean,
right.
It's because it's not exactly like a lot of space for people to go in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah. Well, you might be back as far as Star Tours or the stunt show. I don't know. Hopefully not, but.
Yeah. Toy Story Land, just wrap it all the way around.
right.
Surely there's going to be a connection between Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land, right? Surely there's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is there. All the entrance is going to be the Grand Avenue entrance, and the exit will be the Toy Story Land exit. Because I remember when Pandora first opened, you had to go in the Discovery Island way, but the exit was the Africa path, and there was, you couldn't go in that way. It was an exit only, essentially. So I think
that's changed.
Yeah, that's changed now, obviously, but Pandora's not nearly as crowded as it was, you know, the first several months after it opened. So I assume that they're going to keep it that way and try to flow guests from one side to the other, and not allow guests in the Toy Story area, but only out into Toy Story. So we shall see. So moving on.
So this is a small story. The Skyliner station signage has now been unveiled at Riviera. And I bring this up just because if you were looking at our Instagram, you'll see that I did take our last day to go do a tour of Riviera rooms. So I've gotten a lot more information about the Riviera Resort. And this Skyliner, I think it could be pretty neat. So they've got the sign up. They're getting ready for the September 29th opening. Do you think they're going to open this station even though the hotel is not done?
You know, it would be, to me, it would be interesting if they had some sort of temporary booth or something set up where people could get information about the resort if they chose to get off at that station. That would be smart. Like, just have a little DVC temporary pop-up place.
If you get off, you have to sign up for DVC before you're allowed back on.
Right. Something like that, yeah.
The Skyliner.
Yeah. Or you have to walk all the way to Caribbean Beach by yourself to get back on the Skyliner.
Yeah, but they're getting it ready, which is good news. I think the Riviera as a whole seems very, very nice. I have this, you know, I went and did the DVC tour about it, saw the rooms, and I got this nice glossy book about it. So
fancy.
I saw the pictures in this book look very nice. They're going to have multiple pools. They're going to have an adult pool, a regular pool with a nice slide, a little kids area that looks like it might have. It's got an elephant and a honeypot theme. I don't know what, if that's like a mashup between Dumbo and Winnie the Pooh. I don't know. Anyways, so they're going to be, they're billing it like, the guy was selling it to me like it's going to be nicer than the Grand Floridian.
Well, they're certainly pricing it like it's the Grand Floridian.
I mean, it looks like it would be a nice resort. I wouldn't rule out staying there. I tend to lean toward, as I've said before, the more tropical or maybe exotic themed resorts in some way. So I just like those themes better in general. It doesn't really hold a lot of appeal for me aesthetically. That's just me. But I would stay, don't get me wrong, I would stay at any of them. But
I mean, I'm interested in it. I think the restaurant at the rooftop is going to be really good. You get a lot of good views. You can look straight into Epcot from up there, it seems like. So,
yeah. Speaking of which, I don't know if you saw, they're going to have a New Year's Eve party on that at that restaurant.
Yeah.
That's what? How many weeks after it opens?
Like a week.
Yeah. Like, let's go ahead and throw a party on it. I don't know. Yeah. Seems kind of a bold strategy. We'll see how that works out for them. So if someone's willing to donate, you know, an inordinate amount of money to Patreon, I'll buy DVC.
Right. And we'll
I wonder how many people like share DVC in some way, shape, or form.
Some people do, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what the value add is of that. I mean, I guess if one person wants to go 1 year and the other person wants to go another year, I don't know.
Well, maybe if you have a big family and you do two-bedroom villas or something, or grand villas, and you have enough points to do like a week a year, I can see why families could split that cost, maybe.
If it's split, they probably bought a good bit of points.
Right.
Initially.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense. So, I don't know. But look forward to more DVC content, since Jason is in the know of a lot of current information on DVC stuff.
What I found interesting, which I don't want to dwell on this too long, is of course they're pushing Riviera, but unless I brought it up, they were basically acting like Aulani didn't exist, even though they haven't sold it out. I mean, they aren't even trying to push it.
I think because they don't really expect Aulani to sell out. I mean, it's already been, it was 7 years. Aulani, yeah, I'm going to say Aulani was being sold before Polynesian.
Yeah.
Because the first moment that I ever decided to somewhat look into DVC, I actually did it online. And as soon as you ask for that information, they not only do they send it to you, but I even got a call at my job from a representative wanting to sell me DVC pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't remember putting that number on there, but I'm guessing I did. Maybe I mistakenly did. I don't know.
I've not found them to be very pushy at all. With me.
Well, but not pushy, but they're not going to go away. Mm. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, the guy wasn't pushy at all, really. I will say the availabilities, of course, Riviera, Aulani, and then the Copper Creek is, quote, sold out, so they've raised the price on that one to $210 a point. You can still buy it. And they, of course, have Saratoga Springs available if you want to get in Saratoga Springs style.
I didn't realize they had that.
Yeah. They still have, you can get on a wait list for any of the properties, and there's availability at Saratoga Springs.
Right. I'm pretty sure the wait list is long for some of them.
Yes. They were, like, Polynesian is years. I also saw what Disney was selling some of the other resorts for, which is crazy. I think, like, the Grand Californian, if you buy from Disney, is, like, $260 a point or something. It's something ridiculous. But you have to get on the wait list to find it.
Gee, Whitakers. Well, yeah, I imagine there's not a lot in California, so there's limited supply there.
No, that's part of it, and the fact that it's in California, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too. It makes me a little worried about Aulani, though, because it's the most beautiful resort I think they've ever built, but they aren't selling it out, and they haven't sold it in 7 years. And maybe it'll discourage them from building more resorts that are outside of a Disney park area.
They could possibly make those a little more attractive if they gave some other... Because the big reason to buy into a resort is the 11-month booking window. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, people want to book... They know if they wait till 7 months out, they may not get what they want on property when they want to come to actual Disney.
Just about guaranteed they want.
Yeah, and I don't think people are going into DVC usually to go to Hawaii every year.
Right.
So if you give some sort of bonus for buying into, like, the main reason to buy into Hawaii is if you just want some points that you're going to use 7 months or less. Because they're offering slightly better promotions on it.
Out of curiosity, how much is Aulani points?
Direct, $188 a point.
Okay,
so but it's still a lot. to give you the difference, they have some promotions. So say you buy 215 Riviera points, they'll give you 15 free points. If you buy 240 Aulani points, they'll give you 40 Aulani points. So they, you know, for the price of 200 points. You get 215 at Riviera. For the price of 200 points, you get 240 at Aulani. So they're giving away more free points if you buy into Aulani.
Got it. So we'll have some more DVC stuff coming.
Yes, and if you want to just donate, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and then maybe I'll buy into Riviera. I understand from the salesman the maximum points you can buy at a single resort is 4,000.
Wow.
At one resort?
At one resort, you're allowed to own up to 4,000 at up to two resorts. So the maximum any person can own is 8,000 points.
I bet you somebody out there has it too.
I bet so too. I was trying to look at the points chart to decide if you had 8,000 points, if you could literally stay every day of the year at Disney World.
Oh, it's some of them. I mean, you know, if you can manage to get like Boardwalk for that, you can stay for a long time.
Probably. You couldn't stay in a bungalow for that long, yeah, even with 8,000 points.
But I think a studio at Boardwalk is still something like, I don't know, 12 points a night or something like that.
Yeah. Even in the premiere season, even the week of Christmas, a deluxe studio standard view is 150 points for the week. So we've talked about that enough. That was the Disney Skyliner sign story, and that led to a DVC discussion.
Like I say, it's the and now we did the DVC segment.
But we're teasing a lot of future content that we're going to be putting out. So
yes, I'm going to go into a lot more details about what I learned.
Yeah, because you were there for a while doing that, so got a lot.
Got $100. $100 gift card. $100 gift card. I will say they did take me out the back way of Hollywood Studios, so I got to go around behind Tower of Terror. That was kind of cool.
Well, I can say for a minute there, I was wondering what you're going to say. They're going to show you like, okay, this is the people that refused our offer.
Yeah, right. We throw them down the refurbishing elevator shaft. Did they take you in an unmarked vehicle, or did they drove you?
They took me in a van that said DVC on the side. It was very nice. They had, you know, car seat in it. I didn't even have to fold down the stroller. They just put the stroller in the back. And I will say, you should just go if you're wanting to get away for a little bit. You have to listen to someone talk, but the kids, like the daycare area, was super nice. Our son did not want to leave. So they'll give you free daycare while you're listening to the spiel. So if you're literally just want to get away from your kids for a little while, just go listen to DVC for a little bit.
And get $100 in the process. Can't beat that.
There you go. It's the best timeshare pitch you'll ever have.
All right. Nice.
Just keep hemming and hawing if you don't want to go back to the kids.
All right. Show me one more time.
We'll shift gears just a little bit and go ahead and get a sad note done. Disney legend and voice of Minnie Mouse, among others. I think you say her name is Roosie, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah, Roosie Taylor.
Has passed at the age of 75. She has been the voice of Minnie Mouse for more than 30 years and has done many and several Disney projects. Obviously not the original Minnie, but she has been the most recent long-term voice of Minnie Mouse. Is definitely a Disney legend.
Yeah, always sad when a Disney legend leaves us.
Yes. She actually had some roles outside of Disney that were pretty famous too. She was Strawberry Shortcake, baby Gonzo in the original, I'm assuming, Muppet Babies, based on the way this looks. She voiced Pebbles Flintstone, Duchess the Cat in the film Babe, and I don't know this one, Fernie Toro in Jakers. I never heard of that one. She also provided the voice of Martin Prince and the twins, Sherry and Terry, on more than 100 episodes of The Simpsons. So, there you go.
All right. So I wanted to do one about the some of the things that are coming to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party this year. They definitely are adding some interesting stuff. Of course, they're changing the fireworks, but the most interesting thing was Tomorrowland Speedway is going to have what they say thousands of lights and stylized decor during the Christmas party, which to me is like, isn't that a little bit of a waste that they're only doing this for the Christmas party? But maybe during Christmas week they'll keep it on or something. But interesting that they're going to have some Christmas lights and decorations while you're driving through the speedway. It also says that the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor is going to have a new Christmas show during the Christmas party. So I believe that was usually closed during the Christmas party. So now they're going to have that open and have a special Christmas overlay there. And Space Mountain is going to have a Christmas overlay, which sounds weird to me because they say the Cosmos is going to be filled with dazzling lights and high energy holiday tunes. So I'm kind of confused as to how Space Mountain fits in with the Christmas. That'll be interesting how they do that.
Well, there's already such an awesome sound system in Space Mountain as it is. Nothing can make it better than adding Christmas music to that.
Right. Add some bells to the cars where you jingle bell all the way down.
I think in the Walt Disney World version, you literally pass like a boombox and then it's playing, right, or something like that.
Yeah, it's John Cusack holding up a boombox at the bottom of
the something the like that.
Basically.
Anyway.
That's where he went, in case you wondered.
So,
it also says that the Mad Tea Party is going to have lights and tunes as well as you spin. So, similar to what they did for the Halloween party last year, but with Christmas music. So, yeah, and now, of course, as I was saying, the Minnie Mouse Christmas fireworks is going to be new. So, a lot of new things this year for the Christmas party.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw this. It was on Monday, July 29th. Did you see there was a technical outage that brought Magic Kingdom admissions to a standstill?
I did see this.
I heard about
this. So, if you were not using a Magic Band, apparently, or an RFID reader, if you were using the regular tickets, you couldn't get in the park and for like 2 hours. And there was a huge line that went all the way back, and eventually they were holding people at the TTC, and people were getting pretty upset, and they were giving out free water bottles. Nice. I saw on the next day, on Tuesday, some people were reporting because Toddler of Terror was running sort of like an unofficial challenge because he was able to stash a whole bunch of Umitom Fast Passes or whatever, but that he was tapping in early for stuff and the Fast Pass window was just turning green. And so I think they were just giving people like free Fast Passes today to just because they screwed up yesterday real bad.
Well, that's interesting because, Jason, you remember the last day we were there at Hollywood Studios, we had the Anytime Fast Pass, but we also had a Rock and Roller Coaster Fast Pass for later, but we tapped in and it took away the Rock and Roller Coaster Fast Pass instead of the
Anytime. Multi-experience. Yeah, the multi-experience didn't clear out, and even though it wasn't in our window for Rock and Roller Coaster, it cleared out our Rock and Roller Coaster, which was so weird. I was wondering if I could exploit that.
That could have been a precursor to this issue that happened. It was only a few days before this happened, so.
Dun, dun, dun. Someone out there is trying to sabotage the FastPass system.
That would be a terrible way for a challenge to end, is that you're trying to do a park hop and you show up and you can't, they won't let anybody in the park.
That would suck.
That would be pretty bad.
A run ends early. That would be terrible.
I'm sure there was somebody at corporate that did the math on how much money they lost per hour by keeping people outside away from the shops.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I hope they did something more than give people some free water for their troubles.
Yeah.
Something.
Maybe a magic band? I don't know.
I don't know. Something. A gift card? $20 gift card? I don't know.
Said some people waited for like 2 hours.
Yeah. What, didn't they give away gift cards at Christmas last year when the park was full? They were giving gift cards out or something? I feel like we talked about that. Anyway, could be wrong, but...
Anyways, that was the last of mine.
All right, well, I guess we should move on then to our post-news topic. We're just going to talk a little bit about Grandestino Tower, our stay there. Specifically that part of it, just the hotel part of it, because there's plenty more, you know, to talk about. There's the challenge day, there's the just the trip report in general, there's Jason's DVC, and the After Hours event that Jason did at Hollywood Studios. So there's plenty of content, but for today we're going to focus on the Grandestino Tower and our stay there. So what were your overall thoughts?
Number one, people have been right. The Grandestino Tower does not feel like a moderate.
No.
I walked in, it had the scent, it had that smell when you walk in where it's like that distinctive, they've come up with a, this is the Grandestino smell.
Right.
So every time we walked in, you smelled it. It had a great entrance. I walk in, there's people there to help. My room wasn't ready when I got there, but it was. Actually, they got me one ready when I showed up. Decor was beautiful. I mean, from the moment I walked in, I was like, wow. I don't know how you thought when you walked in. I know you, I had sent pictures already, so you sort of saw what was coming. But it was not moderate from the moment I walked in. It felt deluxe.
Honestly, it's a beautiful lobby, beautiful entrance area. I had seen, you know, of course, some videos beforehand and the pictures you sent. It actually felt a little smaller than I thought it looked in the pictures, but it's still, you know, amazing. It was like I was thinking like Grand Floridian, how big the lobby is. It's what some of the pictures look like. When you walk in, it's not that grand, but it's still like a two-story lobby. Looking out over the resort and the chandeliers and the fountain outside and everything. It's a beautiful view and the scent is really nice.
So if we're sticking with the lobby, there's two tiers, the lobby that you enter and the lower lobby. And in the lower lobby, they have the Barcelona Lounge, which I also, you and I both went down there. I sampled a few times. I went there once at breakfast time, actually, and even got breakfast there. I went there for drinks in the evening and got some food, like a charcuterie board, and took it up to the room at one point. The drinks were amazing. It was neat how they sort of transitioned it all throughout the day. There was a lot of space to sort of sit down. They don't have the soft drinks or anything like that there. They have the coffee, which I don't drink the soft drinks anyways, but if you're one of those refillable mug types, you're not going to be able to do that in the lobby, but you can get coffee.
Right, right. And it does attract a lot of people. I think the lower lobby seemed busier to me than the upper area.
Well, you have to go down to the lower lobby to get to the rest of the resort, right? Yeah. That's at the tier that you get out to the rest of Coronado Springs. I thought it was wonderful. The Barcelona Lounge, I'm going to talk about, you know, some of the other dining experiences because I tried basically all of the new stuff. I've never been to Maya Grill, but I didn't go there. I didn't go to Rick's Sports Bar, but we tried the new stuff. And the Barcelona Lounge, second best lounge, and I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, we both ate at Toledo as well.
Yes.
The Dahlia Lounge, which I loved the Dahlia Lounge, not just because it's my wife's name, but beautiful. And the view out there is great.
Yeah, the view was fantastic. I think you guys came up there and had a drink with me after like our first park day after you had no sleep.
Yeah, for like 48 hours.
Yeah, the drinks were fantastic. I had one of the tapas. So I'd already eaten at Toledo before I went to the Dahlia Lounge the day before you got there. But yeah, the Dahlia Lounge is a winner in my book. I think once it gets discovered, it's going to be a little harder to get into, but it was basically empty every time I went up there.
Yeah, it was. I went up there a separate time after I got my youngest son to fall asleep in the stroller. So I just took him up to the lounge, propped him up in the stroller while he was sleeping and had a drink, and there was nobody up there. I was the only one. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon.
I mean, some people have said this hotel is not Disney theming or whatever. That was very well themed if you had seen the short film, which they were playing in the lobby. I just thought that was really well done at the Dahlia Lounge. I actually didn't spend a whole lot of time on the inside part of the Dahlia Lounge. I sat outside, which was nice that you could sit outside and get table service. You didn't have to go into the bar. You can relax on the balcony if you could get a seat.
Yeah, and I thought there was tons of Disney theming. If you go into the lobby, there's a ginormous Mickey Mouse and a Walt Disney portrait on the wall. There's a lot of subtle Mickey art throughout the whole resort. I thought it was very heavily Disney themed.
Yeah, I did too.
So
Toledo, if we're sticking with some of the food, it's just across from the Dahlia Lounge on the 16th floor. So they're kind of like a hand-in-hand kind of thing. I feel like if you wanted to, you could start or end at the Dahlia Lounge and fit Toledo in the middle.
Right.
We ate at Toledo our first day. You weren't there yet. So it was just myself, my wife, and my son. And then you ate, I think, your last night there, just you and your wife, right?
Right, yeah. It was just the two of us. It was nice, yeah. The food's really good. The atmosphere's really nice.
I don't know what you ordered. I got a couple of those, the very small tapas, the pintos or whatever they call them, where it's like a one or two bites. We got a couple of those. We got some tapas and we got some entrees.
Yeah.
I did try the vegan seafood stuff, and that was weird, to put it mildly.
I didn't try that.
I mean, I'd read about it, so I wanted to try the quote vegan seafood. I would say the only thing that tasted somewhat like actual seafood was maybe the fake calamari. The fake crab cake tasted like a vegetable, and the fake scallop was just awful. The fake scallop was just weird, but I had to try it. In addition to that, I think my wife got real scallops, so that was good to to compare those two.
Yeah. It's like eating an impossible burger next to a real burger. You still can't beat it.
So what is it that a fake scallop consists of?
I'm not exactly sure. I think they said that I think the crab cake was hearts of palm of some kind, but I don't remember. The texture wasn't even, they were trying to match the texture of a scallop when you bite into it, but they didn't, and it didn't taste like a scallop. The crab cake was good, but it didn't taste like a crab cake. So if they hadn't said crab cake, if they had said vegetable cake, I would have thought it was pretty good.
Right. Gives a whole new meaning to imitation crab.
Yes. And so we also had the octopus tapas. We had one of the like small bites, the tuna. All of that was very good. The drinks, I really enjoyed their version of an old-fashioned, if you will.
It was good.
I got that. I think they were selling that both there at Toledo. They sold it at Dahlia, and they sold that at the Barcelona Lounge. So I got that at all three places.
Mm. Their signature drink was the Grand Gin and Tonic, and I got that like three different occasions because it was really good. I'm not a big gin and tonic person, but that was a really good one. And it was a big drink, so I enjoyed that one. I felt like I got the bang for my buck on that one.
But the ambiance of this restaurant was nice. I think, John, when you're there, if you have time to just wander over to see it, it would be just to see the views. I mean, I had a similar view that you get from Dahlia from my room, which is also interesting. I was on the 10th floor. Adam, you were on the 7th floor. We both had standard views, but my standard view looked out, you know, the sort of the side of the tower, and standard view faces towards the parks, towards Epcot and Hollywood Studios, whereas the preferred view faces in towards the lake. I thought that the standard view was incredible because I sat out in my room one night and I saw the Hollywood Studios fireworks going off in one direction, the Epcot fireworks going off in another direction. I could see both Spaceship Earth and Galaxy's Edge from my room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way these rooms are designed, there's not a balcony, right?
No.
No balcony.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. That's kind of become the modern design. They don't really put balconies much anymore, it seems.
I mean, I think Riviera is going to have balconies.
Will it?
Yeah.
I just noticed that that seems to be like a pattern. Like, for instance, Universal, when they built Aventura, no balconies. They have views that were like, they have these huge windows, like there's like a, it's like a wall that's nothing but a window that you get a nice view out of, but no balcony. And I just wondered if there was something to that, really, overall.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, the rooms, even without the balcony, I mean, it had that nice window. And when the fireworks were going off, I couldn't even hear them. So it was thick glass. So
I would say the only advantage to the other side, the resort view, is you can see Happily Ever After from that side, the resort side. It is far off, but you can see it. Because I did see it one night from the front of the hotel somewhere. And I was going to say, I wasn't as happy with my room. I was on, like I said, the seventh floor, but I was kind of in the corner, as far away from the elevator as you could get. So my room was a very long walk to the elevators. And my view was facing Epcot, but I was a little bit too low, I think, the seventh floor. I'd say anything above that you'd get a better view of, but I was facing kind of the side of the resort, facing Epcot, though. So it wasn't terrible, but it was a very long walk to the elevator. I didn't love the location of my room, but again, the room itself, I actually liked that corner room because you kind of had a little extra space. We had like a little bit of extra space when you come in the door. So it was nice. Had some spacious accommodations, but
was with yours being a corner room, was it suggested that they like to use that for, say, handicap or anything like that?
It didn't say specifically. There wasn't anything that notated that, but I imagine, you know, we parked our stroller in the entryway because there was plenty of room for it. So we didn't fold it up or anything. We had plenty of room for it, so that helped. The other negative that I would say was the window in our room is incredibly dirty. And I don't really know why. The hotel just opened. I don't know why the...
Adam, talking about the dirtiness of the outside of a window.
Well, okay, but you look out and you see Epcot, but it's like speckled with like dirt, so you can't really see a clear view. You saw it. I mean, there was a lot of dirt on that window.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't clean.
I'm curious, did you like test the unusual spaces and rub your finger across for dust?
I did do a little bit of that, actually. Of course, there was none, because walking through the halls, you do still smell kind of the fresh paint smell. It's still kind of subtle, but it has a new construction smell to it, if that makes sense. So it's still there.
So I wanted to mention sort of the room. You sort of mentioned yours. When you walk in, a couple of things. Compared to, I stayed at Caribbean Beach not that long ago. It's bigger than Caribbean Beach's rooms. Yeah. Both are moderates. Sure. You get a whole like wardrobe, and you've got two queen beds. You've got spacious area. You've got a chair. The bathroom is dual sinks. You have no tub, just the full length shower. You have a separate, you know, toilet off, and then you have the sliding door for the bathroom that does lock. There's a cool little hidden Mickey in that sliding door. We also didn't have to fold up our stroller. There was plenty of room in that room. I mean, it was very nice. I also really enjoyed the on-demand features of the TV. Because Andrew liked listening to the bedtime stories.
Mm-hmm.
And
so did my son, yeah.
Yeah, and so he would listen to the bedtime stories over and over again. In fact, I think when we left, we got a rendition of the Mickey Roadster Racer bedtime story in full. From memory.
Oh, wow.
nice. But, you know, you walk in and it says, you know, welcome, and it puts your family name up there, you know, and it was really cool. The music, you know, the TV experience was really good. I'm glad they're doing this for the rest of the resorts, because that's going to be a lot better.
Yeah, enhances your vacation a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But I was very pleased with the room, the quality. I mean, it's brand new, So I guess maybe I should try again in a year or two to see how it feels. But
yeah, the initial versus what happens a month later usually is two different things.
I'll give a shout out to the cast members that work there, because, you know, we had, which we'll talk about in our full trip report, we had an issue with a dining experience that allotted us a lot of extra fast passes. I'll just say that part.
Yep.
And so we had to do some rearranging for those fast passes. And my wife also had some issues with her account, with her My Disney Experience account. And I think his name was Robert. I gave him a cast compliment on Twitter because he fixed all that stuff. Every issue that I had with the app and our FastPass situation, he handled it on his iPad. He pulled me out of line because I was, you know, he was one of the front desk managers. So he was walking through the line asking people, you know, how can I help you? And I told him what my issue was, and he pulled me aside and basically did everything for me on his iPad. So within a few minutes. So I can't say enough about the how good the staff was there. Very friendly, extremely helpful. And, you know, we had a cast member come over and notice, you know, ask questions about our party. They noticed that there were some first-time visitors, so they went and got buttons for those guests. So we didn't have to go to the front desk and ask for them. He was talking to us, found that out, and then immediately went over and grabbed some buttons for us. So, you know, very helpful. Good job on the staff there, the cast members.
Yep, that guy was a blue badge, which I learned is they've reached what it's called like the Legacy Award, which means they are like top tier. I saw that guy, and every time I saw him, he went out of his way to talk to me and how was your day? What are you going to do today? What how can I help you? I mean, if you have a trouble, look for a blue badge. If you find a blue badge, they're going to be on it.
And Robert, the guy that I was talking about, he was not a blue badge yet, but he will be, guaranteed. He was that good.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask this. How many times did you get in the elevator without pushing where you were going to go first?
Never. I mean, I have that same type of elevator at my office. Oh. It was pretty straightforward. And also, you can't really get in without pressing a button first.
Right. Makes sense.
And it just tells you where to go. I think some people were confused that when there's multiple people there and they push the button and it tells you to go to the same elevator, they're thinking, wait a minute, that's your elevator. I'm supposed to get a different elevator. But if you look on the side of the door when it opens, it'll tell you it's going to this floor and then this floor and then this floor. So some people were confused about that. But
well, yeah, and in my thinking, I was like, how many times are people already going to have made their selection, but then get in and just out of habit,
yeah,
try to press something on the inside, right, or look to, and they're like, oh, wait, yeah, that's right, we already did it.
Right. Well, the issue we had was there was the kids in our group, a couple of the kids in our group, I'll just say that, would run ahead, and they would want to push the button before the adults got there, and sometimes they would push the wrong button. So occasionally it would go to the wrong floor because of that, but otherwise no real major issues.
So that was the tower, mm-hmm, I would say. Mm-hmm. We also did a pool day, which that's not really new, but the pool there is really nice. It has a slide. I mean, we spent some time there. I can't say it. I mean, you definitely get a difference going from value to moderate from a pool perspective, I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that's not exactly like brand new, but is new, like we mentioned earlier, was the Three Bridges mm-hmm, area. Mm-hmm. And there was one night that my wife, my son, and I, my son was asleep for most of this. We went over there and had a pitcher of rosé sangria and had some food. And I got to say,
yeah,
I don't know, that might... that hangout spot was really cool outside in the middle of the lake. It sort of rivals, like, depending on what my mood is, I might want to go there over the Dahlia Lounge. I don't, yeah, know. Both of the, like, every, all three lounges, if you like just sort of hanging out, having a drink, Barcelona, Dalia, the Three Bridges area, all were fantastic.
Yeah, I saw you guys had like a whole couch and like a little lounge area. You were just chilling.
Yeah, nice. It was nice. It was very relaxing. A plus, would go again. Wanted to go again, but we never had time.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I walked around the whole resort trying to get my son to fall asleep at one point. So you get great views of the tower walking around the resort. So it's just beautiful to walk around there. It was a beautiful resort before Grandestino, but especially afterwards, there's a lot of places to walk and get a nice view and places to hang out. Yeah,
they have the speakers all along the paths too. They
lots just of music.
Keep yeah. the vibe going. I like it.
Yeah, it's definitely a hybrid type resort. It feels like a deluxe and a moderate combined, because you get tons of deluxe amenities and moderate pricing, which for now anyway is awesome. See how long it stays that moderate price for the tower anyway.
Did you notice there was one night we were there that somebody's already was having a party and had rented out the whole top floor, Toledo and Dalia?
Exactly, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. It's probably a wedding.
Could have been.
What do you think?
Well, that would have been very risky to plan a wedding, you know, because they'd had to plan that before it even opened.
Yeah. That's maybe. It would have been risky. There was also a film production going on while we were there one night. And someone was saying it was a Disney show, Disney Channel show, something being filmed there. Really. But it was out in front of the tower, and they had just a little area blocked off. But we could see some sort of film production was going on. I thought it might have just been, you know, maybe something for the Christmas special or something, just showing off the resort itself, but... That someone said it was a Disney Channel show filming something there.
So that means the show will probably be put to the back burner or canceled in like 2 years, right?
Whatever it is, yeah, probably. I was looking to see if I saw any celebrity or something, but I didn't notice anybody. So I don't really watch Disney Channel, so. Right. Well, anything that's not animated, I don't really watch it on Disney Channel, I should say.
Right, yeah, so Disney Junior. I see what you're saying.
Right.
I saw those camera people too, and they were like ordering like 100 coffees or whatever. And I was like, I wonder what they're recording here.
Yeah.
Seemed kind of odd. So I don't know. Was there any other aspects that you saw? I mean, I never had any trouble parking there. Actually, if you're staying at the tower, you know, the parking, that's one of the downsides is that it's spread out. But at the upsides too, is that it's not all in one spot. So there was always plenty of parking. You are the last stop on the bus, so when you get on, you immediately go to the parks. But when you come back on the bus, you're the last stop.
Now, the only weird thing about that was Disney Springs was the opposite for whatever reason. I don't know if it was just that one night that we went to Disney Springs, but when we were leaving to go to Disney Springs, we had to stop at every stop on the way out. But it was the first stop back, so I don't know why that particular night, or is that the way it is? But for the parks, anyway, it was the first stop. You know, you left and went straight to the park. But when you came back, you had to circle the whole resort to get back.
So, yeah. It I am, you know me, I told you many times on the trip, I am not a bus fan. I've been converted. If you have a personal vehicle, I prefer to drive personal vehicle to and from the parks.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree now, especially you're paying to park anyway, so you might as well just use your vehicle. The buses are very slow. It's just the way it is, especially a resort like that where you have multiple stops. It's very slow, whereas you're driving your car, we drove right in and we were done.
Mm-hmm. But if I was to rate this resort, I would say... Now, I haven't stayed at everywhere, obviously, on property. I've stayed at Kidani Village. I've stayed at Pop Century. I've stayed at Art of Animation. I've stayed at Caribbean Beach. And I have stayed at All Stars, but that was a long time ago. And now this. So I've gotten some moderates, some values, and even a deluxe. This was the best resort I stayed at, in my opinion.
It's the best moderate I've stayed at, I'll put it that way, because it doesn't feel like a moderate.
Animal Kingdom was very, very nice, and I loved having animals out of my view. But yeah, the location killed our experience there because it took so long, because we did buses back then. I mean, that's why my wife's like, we're not staying in Animal Kingdom again.
Right. Too far.
This had a better location, even though it's still considered an Animal Kingdom resort.
Yeah, it was easy to get in and out by car. Yeah, very easy.
Right, and I think the experience felt at that deluxe level, like, that I was not expecting. It exceeded expectations.
Well, I was already a Coronado fan before, as far as the moderates go. I always considered it my personal choice out of the ones. And the only one I have not stayed is French Quarter, so I guess I haven't really stayed at all of those, the mods. So that's the only one I haven't stayed.
That's the only one I'm missing, too, which a lot of people say that's their favorite, which the bus routes are much more favorable there because there's only one stop. So,
right.
Yeah.
That might be one of the factors.
Right. I definitely have to check out French Quarter.
I would find it hard to believe I would go, even with the changes, I would go as far as saying it's my favorite one I've ever stayed on. I've stayed on several deluxe ones otherwise, so I've stayed at all the Epcot resorts, stayed at all the Magic Kingdom resorts. I can't find anything that compares to Poly if you're looking at it overall, so I would find it hard to believe I would see that if I stayed there. But it's definitely direction they're going in with the mods in general, I think, trying to upgrade them somewhat. I feel like they're going to do it with some others.
What I'd like to see is to have the mods continue to be sort of like deluxe without the proximity, you know, because right now what separates some of the deluxes away from what I just experienced at Destino is their proximity to a park or their ease of transportation to a park. Whereas Destino is the luxury almost of a deluxe, but it has no convenient transportation to a park. You have to take the bus or drive.
Well, with Animal Kingdom, you know, it's a deluxe resort. That was one of the things people have always said about staying there, is that you get the treatment that probably better than just about any of them. But that's partially to make up for the fact that you're not close to anything but Animal Kingdom.
Right. I mean, I really did like that resort. It was fantastic. I might have a bit of recency bias, but I do think the Animal Kingdom, they're always like, yeah, but there's giraffes out your window, so get over it.
Yeah. One of the things with that one, and one of the things that I backed out on when it came to Animal Kingdom Lodge, was that I would look at the rooms that give views of the savannah or what have you, and then compare it to the price of like a regular room, and then think about the fact that, well, yeah, you can see the animals like without having to look at them out your window and save like $200 or something. Yeah. Something ridiculous. It wasn't quite that much, but you get where I'm going with that.
Right.
Yeah, I paid for Savannah View when I did it, and we set out and looked at the animals maybe once that week, because, you know, we weren't at our room that much. I really enjoyed the fact that we spent most of a day at the resort, or at least I did. Adam went and took his younger son to get a haircut. So
yes. Yeah. Which I'll talk about that later too at a different time, but that was a cool experience. I'm glad
he didn't just take him anywhere. He took him to
Main Street, of course.
Main Street, USA.
Yeah, Harmony Barbershop. So,
I don't know. I would be happy to stay at the tower again, especially for the prices we got them at. I mean, I would book that in a heartbeat. It's worth going above a value for that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for sure. Yeah, for the price you got, for sure. But the likelihood you're going to see that price again is the thing.
It's very unlikely.
Yeah, I would. I mean, they're not going to price it as high as the Poly or Grand Floridian or Contemporary. So it's always going to be under that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can do $400 now and be under that. I mean,
yes, I know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm talking about the pass holder prices. I've seen Grand Floridian pass holder prices in the 400s.
Yeah. It just depends on the time of year and the discount, but it's possible. The weird thing is, it's Grand Floridian is, you can find that at a discount, but like Poly and Contemporary is very hard to find. Unless it's Garden View at Contemporary, maybe, but
still popular.
Yeah, the Poly, I have not found a good price there in like 2 years.
Yep. Yeah. It's, they don't have to.
I know. That's the problem. It's still probably, like you said, it's the best overall every resort. I mean,
every time I walk into the Poly, I'm like, I want to stay here someday. So that'll probably win once I stay there. I mean, I
just want to go back.
I ate at Kona Cafe because I just wanted to go back there. I mean,
my son wants to eat at Ohana for dinner because 3 years ago he ate there for dinner and he still remembers it. So,
well, going back to what you said earlier on the DVC part with Poly, pretty much the right half of the resort is DVC, right? So that's taken up by the fact that there is a multiple years waiting list on that. So there's people constantly using points, getting better deals using points on that side. And then on the other side, it's older rooms, but I don't think there's near as many of the regular rooms as there, I don't know how many per se, but I don't think there's quite as many regular rooms. So when I explain why,
that's true. Yeah.
They don't have to discount, you know, they're usually booked.
Right. They have a lot of club level rooms there too, or theme park view rooms that are obviously going to be more expensive than a standard garden view or whatever. So,
well, I mean, think about it. It's the best view on property, period, really. I mean, if you're looking at Magic Kingdom, you can catch the fireworks show dead on facing the castle.
And it's the best place to watch the electric water pageant.
Yeah, it really is.
By far. Yeah.
So
there you go. You get the best of everything. And the transportation is by far the best at that resort.
All right. So thank you for listening to this episode of Traveling with the Mouse. As always, you can join us on social media. You can catch us there on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at TWTM Podcast. We, of course, still have a Spreadshirt store in which you can buy our exclusive merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast.
And we have a website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can find links to all those things there. And we have an email address, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And we want to thank our Patreon subscribers for helping to make this possible. We are going to be including a lot of content from this past week on Patreon for those there. patreon.com/TWTM podcast.
So for Adam, Jason, and myself, this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Sign up for the $10,000 a month level, and I'll let you use the DVC.
I haven't added that tier yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, if you sign up for $10,000 a month, I'll let you have some of my points.
Sure.